You tell me. Today in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the second quarter, just one of the aisles just fell. When you fall back, you're going to fall back, 8 or 10 rows anyway.
Oh, it's so steep, yeah. And the poor guy that fell, you say he had foam coming out of his mouth, huh?
Yeah, he was throwing up, and he was just kind of out of it. He got knocked out. But it was just kind of a crazy deal. That was
so the guy's in, this is in Section K. The guy falls back. He's got foam coming out of his mouth. His friends leave him on a backboard on a. Do they like tape his head down and all that?
Yeah. They.
Oh my gosh.
Did everything. So it was crazy. Yeah. Anybody else witnessed that and has anything else to add?
Oh my gosh.
It was kind of a pretty big ordeal.
Thoughts on the game, Matt, and then we'll go back to the phones. Stay with me here. Let's take some calls. 865-200-5402. We'll keep Matt Dixon engaged in the mix and in the hunt with us if you want to get in with us tonight. Al's calling the numbers. My name is Tony Basilio. We're enjoying the action of what's going on around the region. We'll give you a score update coming up on our 10-minute ticker from Georgia et al., with the great Alex Myers. Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Did you see what happened in K tonight? If you did, we want a special report because apparently there was a gentleman with foam in his mouth who got taken out on the body board. Let's go to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, how you all doing?
Hey, how you doing tonight? Is that you? Were you in Section K tonight?
I don't know how to go to the game, but I don't know the weather. I love hearing T-Rob. I've never called you so. You ain't been holding back some of the Callaway.
T-Rob, you have a fan here, buddy. How's it feel, T, to have a fan?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Still got some fans out here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, God bless. Everybody down there, your homeland down there. I don't really know if we got anything for
it. Yeah, I'm kind of, to be honest with you, I don't count anything a loss to you play a game, except maybe Alabama. And I'm just being honest about that because they look like their guys are in senior high school and our guys like they're in junior high on defense. But the Florida game, I'm not giving that back, even though it's kind of in a tough environment. I'm not giving that one back, man. No way. Because they have holes and question marks just like we do. Don't you think, caller?
Yeah, it just looks like. I didn't quite understand why Kelly was out there second half. No need to get that guy, risk that guy. I don't know. It just didn't seem like it made much sense. I won't complain if they're getting him all of the touches next week, maybe saving him a little bit.
Tony, let me ask you. We've already talked about Kelly, and I thank you for the call, sir. Thank you. Great points you bring up tonight. Sounded great this evening. Tone, and by the way, 865-200-5402. Do you like how they rotated the quarterbacks, Tony? Butch Jones said that's kind of what they did. They went for feel. They didn't go for this series is going to be yours. And what they did is when they went to Garantano, they went to him two series in a row. He had a touchdown drive. And then he disappears, and we don't see him again until the beginning of the fourth quarter. What'd you think about the way they did that?
I think it was fair. You clearly now find out who your starter is. You know, I was sitting all along. Today, you will find out who our quarterback is. You know, with this type of game, who I always knew it was going to be, Dorminy, QD.
But Matt, what did you make of the way they mixed and matched your quarterbacks today?
I was fine with it. We knew Garantano was going to get in. I would have liked to have seen him run a little bit more of the offense there in the fourth quarter, but of course he had a bunch of backups in with him. I mean, Dormady's the starter, and he's going to play a lot more. So, but I liked how they did give Garantano a chance with the starters.
It gives Garantano some experience, playing time experience, which he really needs, you know, because this coming up, the game's going to change a whole lot. It's going to move a whole lot faster for him. So he needs to be ready for it. This was a perfect opportunity for him to get a little game time experience.
Let's go back to the phones. So that guy in Section K, you say he fell back about 10 rows?
Yeah. Yeah, and hit his head on the steps.
And did he cut himself open when he hit his head?
No, he didn't cut himself open. He just hit his head.
But he's laying there throwing up and laying upside down. Oh, good God. Yeah, right at the start of the game?
Yeah, at the start of the second quarter. So.
Let's go back to the phones, and we'll get our next call in, 865-200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio. This is your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. And before we go back to our busy phones, I do want to remind you that Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm present tonight's activity. The number is 865-200-5402. Again, my number, 865-200-5402. And for the first time tonight, a line is available. And so if you'd like to jump in with us and talk about tonight's big win, they're all big. I mean, 42-7 over Indiana State. Anytime the Volunteers take the field and it's official, it's big to me. It may not be big to you, but it's big to me. And so 865-200-5402 is the number. Garza Law, online at garzalaw.com. I'm talking about at the Garza Law, they have over 80 years combined experience representing clients who are looking for honest, trustworthy legal representation. The Basilios recently had an issue up against one of the insurance companies. And look, life would be great if the insurance companies would do what they say they're going to do. Unfortunately, they don't. They don't. And I had Marcos Garza on my side, and he saw to it that they did what they said they were going to do. And I thank Marcos Garza for that. They're there for you 24/7 at GarzaLaw.com. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on with Matt Dixon, Tony Robinson, and also Alex Myers. My name is Tony Basilio. Welcome in. Yes, hello and welcome. You're on. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
It's football time in Tennessee, baby.
Barney boy.
Ah.
I'd like your thoughts, Barney Boy, on today's game.
Well, before we talk about football, let's talk about them gorgeous women at Calhoun. Oh, my God. I almost not even come to the football game. We had a waitress named Tina. She was gorgeous. Flirting me, if I was flirting her. We almost didn't come to the football game, but we did. I'm happy. Got some things to straighten on defense, be dominant. But it's football time, baby. It's Tony.
Yes, Barney Boy.
It's great. It's great.
Barney Boy, what I love about you is your irrepressible nature. You start out with the waitress at Calhoun's named Tina. You finish with the defense. Somewhere in between, you're going to tell me you saw the guy in Section K fall and crack his head open.
I didn't see that. They saw on TV. I guess my kids might have thought it was me. I don't know. But, no, I didn't see nothing about that.
Barney Boy,
have
you ever seen anything like that during a football game? You ever seen a guy fall back and smash his head in a game?
No. This happened last year. I saw a girl fall down the steps when his orange dress is on and wearing a pink thong as she was falling. Drunk as hell. I mean, she rolled like a wheel going downhill, down them concrete steps. They had to carry her off on a stretcher. Drinking too much alcohol, Tony. But that's part of football. Oh, man. It's a great feeling going back to Roanoke, Virginia on 81 right now. Me and Mr. Ed and Rocky. It's football time, Tony. Oh, hey, Tony, we're going to play a game next week.
What do you think, guys? Let's go around the room. We're going to play that game next week. T-Rob, you got your finger on the pulse down there in the Sunshine State of Florida. Once that storm goes through there, and we hope the damage from it is, I hope it turns. We all do. Tony, we playing that game next week? That's what a lot of all fans are wondering right now. And I almost hate to ask a trivial question like that with that storm coming.
Well, it's,
what's your guess, Tony? We going to play it?
It's close, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's close. It doesn't get that way until, what, Monday?
Well, it's going to be tonight, overnight, tomorrow, all day through Monday, all through Monday.
So I think,
it's a huge storm.
Yeah, and it's wide. Man,
and there's no guarantees it goes.
They canceled all the games in South Florida.
Everything's canceled. Everybody's out of there.
I tell you what, though, according to how bad it is, you know, that game might not be played next week.
You know, Barney boy, I think it's a mild upset if a game's played right now.
Tulsa,
I'm not God.
I
think it's a mild upset if that game's played.
Hey, Tony, let me say something. Is that Tony Robinson on the show?
That is a great Tony Robinson.
Tony and Robinson.
You are interfacing.
Barney boy. I want to talk to Tony Robinson
all right.
for a second.
Go ahead, Barney boy.
You and Heath Shuler are my favorite quarterbacks. You remember when you played Alabama when the World's Fire was there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, I was there. We was there.
You was there?
Oh, yeah, right. Hell yeah. Hey, I got a picture of my aunt years ago.
Tony.
You and Heath Shuler are my favorite two quarterbacks ever.
Well, thank you, sir. I sure appreciate
you
it.
You had a rocket arm you went to Leon High, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. The Mighty Lions.
I know.
Mighty Lions. Tallahassee. Yes, sir.
Hey, you was a favorite, man. You could fling that damn ball. Oh, I mean, just like yesterday at the World's Fire, man, led that victory over them damn Crimson Tide of Alabama. You could run, throw that damn football 90 yards to 100 yards.
God, Tony, he's putting you over.
Yeah, he is. I done what I had to do, you know, to make sure those Vols got a victory.
Oh, man, you was something special.
Well, thank you.
I remember just like yesterday. Always, everybody likes Peyton and got their own quarterbacks, but you and Heath Shuler are my all-time. And I've been doing this for 50-some years, Tony. You're one of my favorites, buddy.
What do you think of our young quarterback play tonight, Barney boy? And then I'll ask Matt Dixon.
Well, that's just average. I didn't get excited. Because he missed that wide open touchdown to Palmer. Wide open. Wide open. He misses that and then throws that stupid interception. I'm being critical of a lot of stuff, but these good looking women at Calhoun's and a victory, I'm in a good mood. I ain't going to be negative right now.
No. In fact, Barney boy, I got somebody wants to talk to you. Go ahead. You're on with Barney boy.
Hey, what's going on today?
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
Hey, Cosby Cattleman here. Let me just give a shout-out to Tony T-Rob there. I appreciate it. We need to blow this Barney boy guy out of here, though. One call a week's enough for this damn guy. We don't need no more jock sniffing here and Mike sniffing. Let me just ask you something about down there about coming all the way down from Virginia. How long you been watching UT football?
Barney boy, how long you been watching UT football?
Since I was probably, when I lived in Knoxville in 1964, I used to sell lineups and go over there and watch them. I started in, I remember the ABC blimp would fly around. I lived on 4th Avenue, so probably since 1963, 64.
So in other words, Cattleman, he works, which is something you don't understand, but he actually has a straight J-O-B. No offense to you. I mean, I'm not trying to offend you or anything.
Hey, but we've been driving 300 miles one way since 1972 when I graduated from high school.
Well, let's go ahead and give you a certificate there. I appreciate your support and all that, and I'm sure the single moms down there at the Calhoun's appreciate the tip money. Hang on a second. The floor's mine. Hang on a second. I don't get much time on Basilio.
I tell you what, you don't get any time. You're out of here. Barney boy, I don't let anybody do that to you. My producer said to put him on. I don't know what that was. I didn't appreciate that, Barney boy. But I appreciate your phone call, and I hope you have yourself a great night, Barney boy. Thank you. We wanted to mix things up a little bit tonight on a rather laid-back edition of the program. Let's get some scores from Alex, and then I want to get a few things from Matt Dixon. And if you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402, as we celebrate in our own little way Tennessee's victory as they defeat tonight Indiana State 42-7. Alex, scores of interest, lay them on me, brother.
Right now, obviously Tennessee with the win, 42-7. NC State over Marshall, late in the third, 30-20. NC State on top there. Clemson and Auburn in a tight one at halftime. As you mentioned earlier, it looks like it's going to be a low-scoring affair. Clemson right now with a one-point lead, 7-6. Tigers lead at home at the half. South Carolina in SEC action on top of Missouri, 14-10 at the half. SMU over North Texas, 24-10 at the half. Southern Miss, a potentially a UT opponent, up over Southern U, 35-0 at the half. Texas A&M over Nichols, 14-6, 29 seconds left to go in the second one. So a little close, a little too close for comfort right now for Kevin Sumlin and the boys. A couple other games of interest. Oklahoma and Ohio State just kicked off a little bit ago. Start of the second quarter, they're all tied up 0-0. LSU on top of Chattanooga, 14-3 early in the second one. And Mississippi State on top of Louisiana Tech, 16-9. Early in the second quarter, Georgia and Notre Dame tied up at 3 apiece, starting the second.
How about that? Georgia and Notre Dame, 3-all. This Clemson game is rock'em sock'em football. You can go ahead and put that down, Clemson and Auburn. That's going to be an absolute thriller. Get yourself near a TV if you're not already, because that's going to be a really exciting football game to look at. As we invite you to give us a call at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Tennessee wins today 42-7 over Indiana State in Neyland Stadium. And Matt Dixon, your thoughts on the game, your story aside, some of the things you'll take away from today's ball game.
Well, the defense is still lacking. They just don't really generate any big plays. And then offensively, the offensive line is still a work in progress. John Kelly carried the ball a lot more than I would have wanted him to. Josh Palmer, I think, looks really good. I think he might be the team's kind of deep threat to replace Josh Malone. He seems to be a go-to guy. But, of course, they were without basically the entire first-team receivers, with Jennings out and then Josh Smith and Tyler Bird out. So it's really hard to kind of judge on a game like this where Tennessee has such an advantage. But, it was about what I expected.
Tony, it is true. It's hard to get a grasp when you're playing an opponent like the one you're playing. Tone, as a player, is it hard to concentrate when you're playing somebody like that that you know is inferior?
Well, you that kind of game is an execution game. You want to execute your plays and find out which players you're going to be able to count on during the season. You know, so this also gets the young guys some playing time. So, looking at the game today,
right?
I think we got some positive things out there. Then some things we got to work on.
Well, when you're playing a divisional opponent like I call a directional opponent, which they're not even directional; they're worse than that, Matt. But if you look at the numbers, Tennessee was only committed 6 penalties for 53 yards, which again, in that department, they weren't as sharp as they were against Georgia Tech. But how can you be sharp when you play somebody of that ilk? I mean, how can you be sharp? 6 penalties, 53 yards, and then Tennessee does lose. They fumble the ball twice, they lose one, and they also do have the interception in the game that we were talking about before. They end up with 2 turnovers in the football game, and all in all, that's a pretty clean game for playing an opponent of that ilk. My problem with what I saw today is that Tennessee defensively, if ever you're going to have a game where you have command over an opponent, where you can shove them around, where you can get in that offensive backfield, create some havoc, pick up some sack numbers, guys like Kongbo stat sheet stuff, all that stuff, this is that game. And, Matt, we didn't do it, man. We just did not do it.
No, they just didn't do much. I know Indiana State seemed to run that jet sweep play across the field a whole bunch. It kind of looked like they just wanted to get to the outside like Georgia Tech did. So I know Florida's got Brandon Powell. If McElwain doesn't run a jet sweep with him next week, that'd be like 10 times or so just until we stopped it. That'd be coaching malpractice, as you like to say.
865-200-5402 if you want to join us. Matt, anything else that you'd care to add tonight on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction?
No, not too much. I know there's still some questions of whether they even play that game in Gainesville next week. So it's kind of a wait-and-see mode. This team's – they've got potential. There's some playmakers that are stepping up, but – They just haven't seemed to be clicking yet, especially on defense. And I don't know if they will ever click on defense. They just don't get anything up front. They're outside of Darrell Taylor. They're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. And they're just not getting in the backfield on any plays.
None. And that's a remarkable thing when you think about playing Indiana State and that you're not getting suitable pressure. Mm-hmm. That's just, that's really incredible. And I don't know how you spin that. I don't know how Florida doesn't look at our defense and go, good God, we're going to have a big day against these guys. Of course, Florida can't play against air. So something will have to give next week. Truly something will have to give. Al has some numbers for us. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Tony. Enjoy the show.
All right, man. And you can read Matt Dixon's great stuff at TonyBasilio.com as he joins us. The number is 865-200-5402. And our lines are wide open as we compete tonight against all this great action in college football in what for Tennessee is a bye game. And we all know that it was a bye game. But if you want to jump in and talk about what you saw or talk about the Vols going forward, please do that. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, before I get into the stats, just a quick question for Tony Robinson. Do you guys think it's possible, and obviously Tennessee didn't perform super well, that's quite obvious, but do you think that it's possible that Shoup and maybe Larry Scott are both holding back just a little bit, knowing that Florida's watching, knowing that they really don't have to get very fancy or show a lot of exotic blitzes or anything like that on the defensive side of the ball in order to beat a team that's just far inferior?
In some ways, I think so. They don't want to show Florida too much. Florida's not, let's say, well, our offense, their offense against our defense.
Yeah.
It's going to be something to see. It's really going to be something to see.
It really is.
They're missing a lot of guys and we're just missing, on defense. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, what transpires there. As far as our offense, I think our offense is going to, I think we're going to show up down in Florida.
I have no problem with our offense. The problem is, though, they're very good defensively, and they scare me with what they could do to our offensive line, which hasn't been really seriously tested yet. And that Florida game, that's what it represents. I mean, that's kind of the measure of where you are. It's a measuring stick. There's no doubt about that. You bring up an interesting point, Alex. I would almost buy that if I didn't see Georgia Tech do what they did to us last week. Since I saw Georgia Tech do what they did with us, relatively doing very little, and then our inability today to set the edge, it's a scary deal, but let's go ahead and jump back to the phones.
You got to get some pressure on the quarterback.
You got to figure out a way. I don't care.
And I just hope
you bring guys out of the secondary.
I hope it's the case that they're holding back, not trying to show too much because
I doubt it. Do you believe that, Tony? I do not believe it for a second.
I don't believe it because, you got too many unknowns on that defense.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, if anything, you would have to try to get your guys off to at least – garner some kind of anything. Anything. A little mystique, a little anything. A little momentum.
Something.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. It's Chad.
Hey, Chad. Welcome in, man. Appreciate you being there.
I don't know if I've ever seen us have so much trouble with a jet sweep before.
I agree with that. It's almost like we don't practice against it. And I think looking at our offense, I think we practice against it.
Well, we don't really look to be very fast. I mean, that team's not fast. That was an automatic 5 or 6 yards every time today.
Well, Albert Haynesworth was like melting down on Twitter with the way we were playing so passively. And to me, I say for good reason. Guys like Albert Haynesworth, people can say what they want to say about him, and you can pick on him for the stuff that went on in the pros, and all that's true. But Albert Haynesworth is a guy, when he played here, who played on some great football teams, and he's still invested enough that it pisses him off to watch our guys line up 2.5 yards off the line of scrimmage and let somebody called Indiana State get the edge on him constantly. I mean, Indiana State rushed for 122 yards on us today. That should never happen. Never.
Tone, that's also something our defense is missing, is the kind of attitude that an Albert Haynesworth had. I mean, he was nasty, and I'm not seeing that out of anybody on that defense. I'm not trying to pick on him, and I'm not happy with Bob Schutt, but I'm not so sure this is – it does not look there's a lot of talent out there.
No.
On our defense.
No.
And that really concerns me.
I mean, how about this? Cortez McDowell is a senior, right? I'm shocked by watching this today. He's struggling out there against them, against Indiana State.
And Tony, you talked about, and caller,
it's kind of incredible.
You mentioned it, caller, about how Tennessee looked a little slow out there. Well, if you look at Tennessee's linebackers, you look at the weight, you look at the size, they're not very big. So if you're not very big, you best be fast. I mean, A.J. Johnson a few years ago, he was good. He wasn't very fast. But you know what? You weren't going to run up the middle. If you met him in the hole, you were going backwards. These guys, they're not super fast, but they're not real big either, and that's scary.
That's a decent point. Yeah. That really is.
I wish Khalil McKenzie had a little mean and nasty to him because he looks the part. But
I got a stat for you, caller. Are you ready for this?
Chad.
Khalil McKenzie had as many tackles and Jonathan Kongbo, as well as Markell Osborne. All three of those guys had as many tackles, one on the night, as our tight end Ethan Wolf did. How's that for a mean streak? One.
Brutal.
Brutal, man. That is. That's the right word, brutal. I mean, against Indiana State, these guys should have just...
Tony, you should shove them around, man.
Yeah, you know, they're cleaning their clock, man.
Yeah. And the score should be something like 56-7.
At
like
least
they
two or
score
three
a late touchdown.
Two or three turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is the kind of game where you pad your stats and defense, you go all out and you just wear these guys out and make them quit. You make them basically just quit.
That's an incredible number Alex just gave us.
Yeah.
Good
Damn.
Gosh. And here's the thing. The one sack, Alex, doesn't even come from a guy in the regular rotation on defense.
Who got the sack?
Forget his first
let's,
name.
Let's find it. It's Alexis Johnson, right?
No, it's the number 13.
Hang on one sec.
DeAndre Johnson. Okay.
Well, he's a freshman, so that's good.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
freshman.
Not a guy who you're expecting to play down in and down
out. Johnsons are running together.
DeAndre
Johnson. Yeah, I mean, it's okay that a freshman gets it, but that should be like one of nine.
But is he in that main rotation?
No.
And he's not in the main rotation.
No.
I mean, you know.
And that's the point.
Well, I think Coach Schutt's got to figure out, coming up in SEC play, who's going to be in that rotation. What guys can he count on to be in this rotation? You know, because he's got to do some stuff with that defense. We got to confuse some folks. Because right now we're confused. Because we don't know who's going to be able to show up.
Well, that secondary is a scary thing. But that defensive line's scary. The linebacking core is scary. But here's the thing about Florida. Florida's not any good. And I'm holding that hope on that. And I know you think.
I'm going out on a limb. I say we're 4-0.
See that?
I say we're 4-0.
We're beating them.
We're beating Florida. We're beating,
UMass. Bring it on.
So we're 4-0 after that game there. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, that's what I look at, see. I'm going out there and say we're 4-0.
Tony, I don't know that I'm going to let you drive out of here talking like that.
You know, crazier things have happened. Last year we started 4-0 in a similar situation and then went down to Georgia, and we all know how crazy that game got. And you mentioned it, Tony, earlier, I think a lot of these games, 90% of the games on UT's schedule this year that are meaningful are toss-ups.
Absolutely.
So if we go down there and beat Florida, which we got as good a shot, I mean, as they do to beat us, if we go down and win that and then beat UMass, we go into Georgia, all of a sudden, Jones has had a lot of success. I think, what, two of the last 3 years we beat him?
Uh-huh. Or give yourself three? Life.
All of a sudden, you go in there at 4-0, and they're coming to your place, and they lose at Notre Dame.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you're the favorite.
Give yourself some life. And the ACC with another impressive result today as Syracuse defeated by Middle Tennessee State. Chad, anything else for us on the way out? And I thank you for the call, my friend.
Yes, sir. What does concern me about next week is Florida. I watched them last week. Florida doesn't have a quarterback, but it doesn't matter. They just need to be able to run the ball. We can't stop it.
Yep, and Scarlett's a great little player. Make no mistake about it.
Well, and you know, I can't complain about Shoup too much today because we should be able to run a base defense and stop that team. But I hope he can come up with something next week. Because, you know, the bottom line, Florida is as beatable as anybody in the East. They really are. They're not any good. I know that that's a weird series, but there's really no excuse for us not to be able to beat that team. So hopefully he'll come up with something. Maybe our team will play a little more inspired. Our defense will play a little more inspired and be flying around. But right now, when I've watched some of the other SEC defenses today, we look slow. I mean, we look slow on defense, and you know it's hard to even as bad as we've been in the last decade. I don't know if I've seen a Tennessee defense look that bad.
Chad, thank you, and that's a concern, and that's why every game will be a coin flip from here on out. I do like the passion though that this team plays with, and the fact that there really aren't any superstars on this football team either. I think that'll bode well as well. And we have to hope the chemistry is pretty good. Tony, before we get your thoughts and Al's thoughts, let me bring Jerry Colquitt in here. Jerry, your thoughts on what the caller just had to say and some of the observations you had for me today as we were watching that game together.
Yeah, I have to agree. Just overall, defensively, it looks like we're still trying to feel things out. I know it looked like today they did try to insert Batuli and Jumper out there at the same time, which I was glad to see because I think going forward, I think that's the right combination with what we've got there. And I'm with you guys. A lot of times I did see just edge runs, and when I played the tape back here, what little I've got to was able to play back some. It just looks like it's almost a technique thing. We'll talk about that more as we get on, but some of this stuff I do think is fixable, but it's almost like some of these guys are playing in these positions for the first time and they're learning some of these techniques for the first time on the field and in live action there. So but I do agree we got some things to patch up on offense. But the good thing is this, in terms of just a vanilla offense and just everything being in front of you, next week against Florida, on offense, they're going to be as vanilla as it gets. And our guys, if they can line up right and play the technique right, you know, they're going to have a chance to play good football because you're not going to see a whole lot of different type of looks. I don't really think you're even going to get a whole lot out of quarterback. I mean, unless they insert Luke Del Rio in there, which I do like him. I think he's a player, but for some reason, he's not on the field. Those other two guys are in there. Then stranger things have happened. I think we've got a chance.
Yeah, if they play Malik Zaire next week, I will come on Twitter and I'll say that we're going to have us a victory celebration unlike any other. In fact, if I get word, Jerry, that that they're going to play that kid in that game, I'm going to probably dose myself Thursday and Friday knowing that I'm going to be up till about 5 o'clock in the morning. Because it's going to be
a wild night.
That guy right there, Tony, slide over here so that the camera can see you're hiding.
That's going to be a wild one.
Tony, that Malik Zaire, can he play at all? No.
No.
I mean, does he scare you, Alex? Does that guy scare you?
No. The only bit that scares me is the fact that he can run a little bit, and Tennessee never seems to defend that. But his arm,
he is brutal.
No,
let's go back to the phones. Go ahead.
I think next week against Florida, we should put some pressure on that quarterback and, you know, cause some confusion back there.
No matter who it is.
No matter who it is, I mean, the way to give us our best chance to win on defense is to cause some confusion on Florida's offense.
Well, here's the deal. If it's Luke Del Rio, you have a guy that's physically limited. You put pressure on him.
Put pressure on him.
Yeah. If it's Malik Zaire, you've got a guy who's physically limited and he's played very little bit. You put pressure on him. Just like Michigan did. They didn't even let the guy breathe.
Breathe, yeah.
And they strip sacked him for a touchdown for the last touchdown of the game.
That's right, yeah.
And if it's Felipe Franks, that's a freshman who's played very little football. You've got to put pressure on him.
Cause some confusion. Mix it up on him, you know.
And, Jerry, I want to ask you something just real quick. I know
we've
got
we'll go to the phones.
Callers. You know, you talk so much about the offense and Florida, but then people talk about the defense of Florida and how it's just so spectacular. Let me just tell you, I mean, Tennessee scored 38 unanswered against that defense last year, and they lost guys like Caleb Brantley, Jalen Tabor, who were really, really good, solid players at this level. So I know that Florida's got talent there, but I don't buy that Florida's defense is just some, you know, 09 Alabama. I don't buy that because I saw us, you know, have success against them last year, and they've lost a lot of talent. And it's no secret that McElwain hasn't recruited at the level that Muschamp was recruiting down there.
Yeah, and I think last year I thought our guys really made plays. And, you know, I have to give Josh Dobbs a lot of credit. Juwan Jennings had a huge game. Josh Smith had a good game. But the thing that worries me, though, I mean, I thought last year, in terms of what we need to counter, that very good interior front. They had guys that could rush the passer. They also had guys back there that could cover you one-on-one. For everything that they did well on defense, we had something that could counter it. This year going forward, you know, do we have enough at wideout to counter what they might have in the secondary? And to be honest with you, at this point, we just don't know. I mean, you can't have two first-round quality starting cornerbacks at the SEC level, lose those guys, and not have a drop-off. So, and then as far as running the ball, I do like our chances. Our line seems more mature. They seem to be playing more in sync. And like the Georgia Tech game, I think if we play solid, Dormady keeps that game in front of them. And and Tony knows this too. All you need is about three or four plays from that wide out position, getting Callaway the football, and that's about it. But I do like our chances against that defense, though.
You know, you scared me there for a second. You talk about getting Callaway the football. I'm thinking about Antonio Callaway, who and our quarterback's middle name, our Callaway's middle name is also Antonio Callaway, believe it or not. So something's got to give. One of the Callaways is going to shine next week because players like that play well in games of that ilk. Let's go back to the phones.
Big players. So
big play. You're damn straight. And guys like you, Jerry, relished, or Tony, you relished the opportunity to play in a game like that against Florida.
This is a game that, you know, Marcus Callaway, he came out last week. He had a breakout game, but this is the game here. You know, this is the game you want to break out in right now. This is one of these breakout games to show, hey, I belong here. You know what I'm saying? I'm the top dog here, so let's show it.
Because in the SEC, it matters.
It matters. That's right.
And it just means more. Let's go to the phones, Gary. Next call in. Go ahead, Jerry.
I tell you, if we got Josh Smith back for this game, even if he could just give us anything, because one thing you know about Josh Smith, man, he is a gamer.
Yeah. I agree.
A game like next week, he would show up as well. He would just be one more tool in that toolbox for Dormady.
He'll be back for that game, Jerry. He could have played today. They held him out. Yeah. And he'll be back for that one. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, this is Wade. Hey, I wanted to answer the question about if Talk Cooper being a little vanilla or holding off for Florida, okay? And that's a possibility. But if he is, he started against Missouri last year, okay? But against Missouri last year, on their last two touchdowns, our linebackers and cornerbacks are looking to the sideline to get a play while they're snapping the ball and gaining 4 or 5 yards all the way to the end zone, right? And I'm thinking, man, in middle school, we just went to base and said, man, he wants to block and suddenly tackle somebody. But even the second touchdown they scored, once they got inside the 15-yard line, was the same way. They're going to get a play. They're coming to the line, snapping the ball, and coming right up the middle. And then against Vanderbilt, right? What the heck was going on? Oh, that's a game I couldn't figure out. It almost looked like Vanderbilt was getting lucky. It didn't make any sense to me, right? It's like, I don't understand what is going on. I was so proud we got Coach Shute. My uncle thought he was going to do such a great job. But now I can't figure out. I do agree that we're down on time a little bit, man. Georgia Tech looked a little faster than our linebackers last week. But there's no reason today that we couldn't stop the stupid Jets week, right?
They got it at will. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I don't understand. We did that thing again today where we lined up our defensive lineman 2.5 yards off the football. What the hell is Bob Shute think he's doing? What is that? I've watched football my whole life. Tony, you've played your whole life. You ever seen anything like that, Tone?
No, but the only thing I can come up with, Tony, is that a read defense or something?
Yeah, it's a read defense.
That's a read defense.
And we look illiterate
there. Definitely.
Reading is fundamental.
Kim Priest had the best line today. I was at the game listening on the radio, and it was late in the third quarter when they ran about the 20th jet sweep, you know, to gain about 7 or 8 yards. And he said, you know, sometimes if you're a great football player, you have to overcome coaching. And I thought, and he just said it without even.
Oh my gosh!
And I thought, you're right, man. They're doing all these weird stunts and moving people in motion, but the same thing has happened. They're getting somebody on the edge. So at some point, you just got to step up and take a chance, right, and get off a block.
You're not playing me by saying that Tim Priest on the Vol Network said sometimes you have to overcome coaching. Are you playing me by saying that?
I crossed my heart, Tony. It was somewhere in the third quarter, and it wasn't like – it was just – it was almost – he didn't think he – it came out before he meant to say it, but I promise. It was after a sweep to get a first down. They gained like 7 yards, and he said, dammit, man, he said – we got better football players than they do. Yeah. And sometimes when you're a football player, you got to overcome coaching and know what the guys are doing on the field and where the player's going. And I can tell you where it's going.
That is a great line. And a guy who's getting sick of it, okay? You know that guy's getting sick of it because his defense has turned the ball over when he played. And he played on some aggressive defenses. And these guys are so passive. We let Georgia Tech – well, I'm not going to go back into that. We know. We know about the average of 500 yards in the last 7 games.
I
called for Shoup's head on Tuesday of this week or Wednesday of this week, and I stand by it. I'm sorry. I stand by it. Tennessee can do better, and we're going to squander another year waiting in an Eastern Division where Georgia right now is flat struggling with Notre Dame, flat out struggling in a football game with Notre Dame. You can say whatever you want. The Eastern Division this year is the Leastern Division, just like it's been. And since Butch Jones has been here, it's been the Leastern Division. He ain't playing any of these Urban Meyer teams. He's not playing any of these heavyweights. There are no heavyweights. It's a middleweight division, and we can't get past the middleweights. It's a lightweight division, as Tony just said.
Hey, so on a positive note, though, I think our offensive coordinator is doing a good job. All right, I think Dormady's starting to come into his own. He made some bad decisions, but he's getting better. He makes more good decisions than he does bad.
Sure, right.
So this is going to be a replay of 2012. Remember when we would score 45 points and lose 48-45 sometimes?
Yep.
You remember that?
Sure.
I'm afraid we're setting up for one of those kind of years. I think our offense is going to do really well. I just don't know if our defense can, you know, can challenge.
Well, as my man Brocky liked it, told me the other day, when you play games like that, you're always in football games. The games are always interesting, right? And that's what we're going to see this year.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's what we're going to see, unfortunately. But that is what we're going to see.
Speaking of interesting, man, I love man, I can't see how many road games I listened to on the way back, and you kept me away. Tony, you're awesome. You do an amazing job. Thank you for what you do.
Okay? Hey, dial us up every day, man, on the air as well, 11 to 1 right here Eastern Time, and check out the blog. We appreciate you being there, brother. Thank you.
All right, bye.
And thank you for the kind words. Jerry, your thoughts on what that caller just had to say?
Man, that was a long-winded call there, Tony. Which part?
I don't know. Pick one out, Jerry. Pick one. How long have you been doing this, Jerry?
Man, look, the simplicity of the defense, I think you guys brought that up. I think part of that is this. Right now, with all of the injuries, he's just trying to have guys line up and just play ball, you know, just let their natural abilities take over. I saw a couple times today where, for instance, you had Batuli. He was playing the Sam linebacker. That's the linebacker that plays a lot of times over the tight end on to the strength of the formation. And you can tell there was a different deal for him versus a off-the-ball linebacker. When that guy comes off on some of those, I think you guys were talking about some of the bunch formation, some of the wide sweeps. He's got to jam that thing up right after the line of scrimmage. In fact, he's got to push his guy into the backfield. What happens, Tony, is you have guys blocking down. If he doesn't come off the line of scrimmage and hold the edge, then that makes everybody have to run the hump. All the defensive tackles, you saw Jumper have to run the hump, and that means they have to run around him instead of him making a short corner for those guys to attack that thing downhill. So it's little stuff like that, which I think we're still kind of playing our way into, that I think over the course of time, I think we will get better at.
865-200-5402. Let's go back to our busy phones. Alex is monitoring our scores. Alex, we have an update on the Notre Dame game. Lay it on me, Georgia, Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame actually went up 16-10 momentarily on a kind of freaky play, but it got called back, and they ended up settling for a field goal. It's 13-10 with 4:14 to go in the first half. Notre Dame at home with a three-point lead.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. And we'll get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where we talk about it as soon as it happens. Welcome in.
Hello.
Hey, welcome in.
It's always good to be in here with some BFLs. And, I was listening to Jerry the other day, and I'm it's always a pleasure being on with him and all the way across the country and, and then being on here with a legend like T-Rob.
Tone, how's it make you feel? Sounds like Steve from Lexington. How's that make you feel when Steve thinks you're a legend, Tone?
Thank you, Steve. I sure appreciate it, man. It's good to be recognized. Good to be recognized.
And, Steve, are you going to acknowledge Jerry Colquitt is with us as well, another legend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love his analysis and breaking it down. And I wish there's some sort of way that maybe you could maybe do something for us non-tech-savvy individuals, maybe you could do something, maybe put it up on that application or whatever I got to fill out so I subscribe to it. Maybe we can do some of that. I enjoy some of that X's and O's talk. But, guys, I only got a couple minutes, but I just wanted to see, it seems like defensive line, we're real thin there. But, I'm just going back to some of the stuff, through recruiting and all that, but I wanted to ask you about a couple of freshmen, if you think they can contribute. It's DeAndre Johnson. I don't know what number he's wearing this year, but I know he's from Southbridge down in Miami. And I hope everything works out for those folks down there. I know it's tragic, everything with the weather, but I just want to know if you thought maybe he might be able to make an impact or if there's a freshman over there that, And maybe if Jerry's got any kind of recruiting updates, anybody out there on the West Coast that, he might know about that we might be in on.
Jerry, are you Jerry, the Johnson kid got a sack. We already mentioned him earlier. He had three total tackles in the game, two solo. He ends up with a sack. He had two tackles for loss he ended up with in today's game. Here's my problem with our defense. How many quarterback hurries? Well, we got one sack today. Do you guys want to guess how many hurries we had? Tone, how many hurries did we have today? Quarterback hurries.
Quarterback hurries.
Don't read off the sheet there, Tone.
I didn't have to look at the sheet no more. I see a bunch of...
How many hurries do you think we had today?
One.
We had two.
One. We got a bunch. We got a bunch of those zip. Those dashes. We got a bunch of dashes on there. Bunch of dashes on there, man.
The hurries came from Colton Jumper had one hurry, and Khalil McKenzie.
Okay.
Had one hurry. Jerry, I mean, are we? What are we doing on our defensive line, Jerry?
I think you got to look at two areas, Tony. Just development with some of these returnees, and also too just recruiting. Let's talk about development real quick. So on some of these guys, if you look at, I'm looking at this depth chart here. So if you took a Kyle Phillips or Jonathan Kongbo, these guys aren't new. Or Reggie McKenzie Jr., Kendall Vickers, Ty Shuttle, as I like to call them. You know, these guys are returnees. So then you start thinking, okay, should these guys be further along just in terms of overall pass rushing skills? Now, that's a lot of times, if unless you're, you know, a Leonard Little type or a Chuck Smith type, and you can just come right in and you automatically have that natural speed rushing passing ability. A lot of times, Tony, rushing the passer is a developed skill. But the thing that's concerning for me is I'm really not seeing Kyle Phillips, Kongbo, Kendall Vickers, McKenzie. I'm not seeing these guys what should be at this point. These guys just getting better at just pass rushing techniques as upperclassmen. And then you look at some of the younger guys that you mentioned there, going through here the lineup, Daniels and also Daryl Taylor, especially for the lighter guys. You know, I understand, you know, for a bigger 270, 80-pound defensive end, but if I'm Daryl Taylor and this other kid here, DeAndre Johnson, at 6'4", you know, 240, 30 pounds. Now, listen, it is a tough deal to line up against a 290, 300-pound defensive tackle every play, even at the collegiate level. But those guys should have a athlete advantage. And that's where I would like to see some of these lighter guys, when they do come in, man, give us something on pass rush. If nothing else, just give me a dynamic speed rush. Even as a young guy, you saw, I'm trying to think, Jonathan Brown. Jonathan Brown didn't come to campus, you know, as a 280-pound defensive end. He came in about 245, 250. But day one, what you saw him be able to do was just use a simple speed rush just off of, you know, that high effort and being a little bit lighter and being able to come in on some of these passing downs and give us something. So the fact that we're not seeing that from either side, the development side from our veterans and also from some of the younger guys, just from a pure talent standpoint, it's kind of concerning because you're going, wait, where is this pressure that we need to get on this quarterback?
Yeah, and speaking of pressure, Auburn just turned Clemson over, okay, for the second time in the game around midfield. And Clemson, Alex, as you track this game, they are putting all kinds of pressure on Jared Stidham. I mean, they're on him like white on rice, like they used to say in rap music back in the day.
Yeah, one of my buddies texted me and was watching the game a little bit more closely than we have been as we've been flipping around a little bit here. Told me that Clemson, as there's another one, almost, they have about 5 sacks already on Auburn.
And a ton of hurries, Jerry. Yeah. And a ton of hurries.
And we've got 1 sack against Indiana State.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Jerry, and it's kind of inexcusable. And Tim Priest, it sounds like, about snap today on the air, and good for him. Because it's true.
Then again, as I look, I see Auburn's defense or Clemson's defensive line about a half an inch off the ball rather than 3 feet.
Oh, they're much closer. They're much tighter on the ball than we are. And they're about, let's see, we're about 2 feet off, about
close to a yard.
You know, guys,
3 yards off the ball.
Not to belabor a point, but when you watch last week Florida State and Alabama playing, it reminds you so much of the Tennessee Glory days. So much of the Tennessee Glory days. Where you see those big athletes run around at linebacker, those big athletes run around at defensive end, and the big athletes running around and running around and running around, and all the exotic blitzes and all the things they're doing and all the different pressures they're dialing up, and the chess match that we got used to watching for all those years and just got accustomed to seeing. And then you watch us, as our caller a couple calls ago just said, God, it can't be this bland. Bob Shoup's making $1.2 million. And he's literally playing high school defense. That's what they're doing.
No.
You know,
I know they don't have the bodies. I understand
Tim
that.
Tim made a very very good point. You know, but somebody needs to show up here, man. These guys, where are they at? Somebody needs to show up, because with all the experience, so-called experience we're supposed to have on defensive line, I don't see anybody showing up here lately.
Well, it's alarming to have that little of a showing against Indiana State today. 865-200-5402. It just... And look, I'm not giving up on that Florida game. I'm not, because Florida can't play offense. But somebody, as Jerry said, something in that game next week has to give, as now Auburn trying to get drive and trying to get within one, or perhaps, well, it's too early to go for two. They're down 14-6, 6.5 to play third quarter. And look at that. The Zebras are talking to each other. That never happens. Let's go back to the phones.
Hey,
let's,
Tom,
you get our, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing you may see, and you'll see this a lot, is you know, if a team just doesn't have a natural pass rusher, and no one has developed those skills, and you got a decent secondary, what you could see, just, you know, just exotic alignment, just giving them a and Tony can attest to this. If I'm a defense coordinator in the collegiate or pro level, if I'm dialed in on your pass protections and I know what those things are, I just may give you a funky pre-snap read just to make you think that we're coming, all right? Then we may back out some of the guys and rush some of the others. You know, they call that zone blitzing, right? You're not really rushing more than the typical three or four, but you're just rushing a different three or four just to confuse the pass protection. So, if anything, I would believe going forward, since we now know we don't really have a natural guy or two that can just put pressure on the passer, I would look for them to, as their go-to, start using some of these zone blitz schemes to where, you know, they can play zone behind it, so you're not having to play man-to-man on the backside. You can play it safe, but try to give them some confusion sort of looks pre-snap there. So I think that might be a way they may be able to achieve that in this game against Florida.
Well, back to our point, and then we'll get our call in here. You got to make plays in these games. Terry Godwin, you'll see this play tomorrow if it stands, just made an insane catch. Insane catch in a Notre Dame game.
What's his name?
Insane Beckham. Catch.
Beckham. Beckham.
Yeah. I mean, a one-handed. He went up over himself. He's a little spindly guy, 185 pounds. That's what these games are about, man. You got to make plays. And somebody on our defense has to be able to make plays. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
I'm just wondering, how can we be this many years into Butch Jones and look like this on defense? I mean, it's like thin at linebacker, thin in the secondary. And then to have John Jancic and Willie Martinez up there together working and have better defense than we got now. And I used to sit up at night after we played Georgia, and it got to the end of the year, just have nightly prayer that Georgia kept Jancic and Martinez, because we lift them boys up like crazy. And now I'd like to have them back.
I don't. Bob Shoup, somebody made an astute observation this week. It might have been you, Alex. It was somebody. That he is, if you follow Tennessee baseball, they just hired a coach or fired a coach that had the most incredible resume the school's ever hired in any sport this side of Johnny Majors. And he was a miserable failure here. And Bob Shoup, to this point, looked so good on paper. It was so exciting. We're going to run the orange swarm. And he's right. It has been an orange swarm. Every time we take the field, everybody swarms the orange. It is
an orange
swarm. It's crazy. Today we got swarmed. Today, Indiana State, they were getting the edge on us like it was nothing. Thank God they're terrible. Thank God.
We're slow. We're weak. I mean, what seriously happened with our weight program last year? I mean, has it affected us this much this year that we still get pushed around?
Tony, is there like a stomach virus going through our team or something, the rotavirus or something I didn't know about on our defense?
Something's going on with six ball games.
It has been going on for six ball games. But here's the thing. It was going on last year, first couple games of the season. Thank God Virginia Tech imploded up there. And thank God that Jalen Hurd fell on that fumble in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
And can maybe – I've got an idea for Shoop. You know, maybe he can put in that defense that Dooley put in down at LSU at the end of the game down there on the goal line, you know, the team photo defense. Maybe we can stop somebody with that.
Let me tell you something. Next week, if Scarlett early on's running all over us, I would try to sneak a couple extra guys out